Sydney. It's the greatest city in the world, except for the M4 and the M5 and the M5 East. It's a city that you can't help but love. I mean, Parramatta Road at Concord is a bit of a nightmare, and Narellan Road is always backed up. And don't get me started on Pennon Hills Road, Windsor Road, James Roos Drive, or Cleveland Street. And the less said about George Street, the better. But whether you're stuck in traffic in Bondi, Bella Vista, or Blakehurst, or simply stuck at home because you can't afford the f***ing tolls, you might as well listen to Radio Chaser on Triple M.
Yes, welcome to the show that is slightly better than sitting in Sydney traffic. Charles Firth is here, Chris Taylor is here, Andrew Hansen is here. And my name is Dom Knight. Coming up, we're going to talk about a town. You can buy the entire town, 14 houses and a helipad for $500,000. Of course, it's in rural Queensland. Yes, lots happening. But let's talk about Telstra first up. So huge news. Yes.
Huge news. Telstra's just announced this morning that they're going to cut 8,000 jobs. Meaning that I think there's going to be one person left at Telstra.
Well, it's about time, because they've been so reliable recently that I think a lot of staff they can shed.
I had no idea that there were 8,000. Yeah. Like, what do you do at Telstra? Like,
well, certainly none of them are installing the NBN right now. Can we rely on the 8,000 figure? Because you know when Telstra tells you they'll turn up at 9, and it's always like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Is this 8,000 figure reliable?
Yeah, no, I think it's very unreliable.
Well, I see when Telstra fires you, it takes weeks and weeks for it to actually take effect, and then there's a problem. You've got to go back to the HR manager.
That is true. It's actually going to take till 2022 to get through all the firings, apparently.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Will they all be on hold for that whole time, just sort of waiting the bad music?
Well, these are local jobs, because, you know, like the joke about Telstra is that it's all call centres in India and that kind of thing, but these are the remaining 8,000 Australians who work for the company.
And the problem is that what's going to happen is all these Telstra employees are going to be out on the workforce, you know, looking for new jobs.
Hi, I'd like to apply for this job.
Certainly, sir. Take a seat. What are your qualifications?
Well, I used to work at Telstra, so I'm very good at not answering the phone.
Pardon?
I can sit and listen to a phone ring for hours at a time and not even get the slightest urge to answer it. It's quite a skill.
But why would we want that?
Well, it could be someone ringing to complain. Usually is, actually. Back at Telstra, you used to get hundreds of complaints a day, mostly about the fact that we never answered the phone. That was the main thing people would call us about, actually.
Any other skills?
Well, I'm very good at bringing a communications network to its knees.
That sounds terrible.
Oh, yes. If you're wanting someone who knows how to completely prevent millions of people from accessing the service they've paid for, I'm your man.
I see.
So, I haven't got the job, have I? I knew I shouldn't have been so honest.
No, you're hired.
Really?
Yes, you're perfect for the job. Welcome to Optus.
Radio Chaser on Sydney's Triple M.
Let's talk about what's making news in Sydney.
Newsy news. And current affairs.
Oh, let's talk about property prices. This is a Sydney radio show, and they've released a list of suburbs where house prices are set to plunge, and my suburb, where I have a tiny apartment, is dropping by 13.6%. The city in Inner South is going the worst in the entire city.
Well, congratulations, Dommy. Look, if it goes down another 100%, it'll be back to the unaffordable levels of 2012.
Is Dom, are you the factor here in the plunge?
Yeah.
Is this the Dom Knight effect?
Yeah, it's a suspicious coincidence. As soon as I move into a suburb.
But it used to be very illustrious before Dom moved in, wasn't
it? We flew too close to the sun. But everything's gone down. The whole city, basically, from 13.6% there. Central Coast has gone down zero. So everywhere else is down.
Could people hire you if they wanted to buy into a suburb to go and live there for 6 months? Prices plummet.
That's not bad. Or just if you're like auctioning, or wanting to bid on an auction, you can ask the neighbours, do you mind if Dom just hangs out and sort of talks over the fence during the auction so no one else bids and you get it for a bargain?
I saw this movie, The Cooler, where someone did that at casinos. Yeah. And as long as I'm getting paid lots of money and can afford a house in Sydney, I'm in.
You could make a fortune, Dom.
All right.
So, music.
So, Devis House sucked in. Also, if you're a fan of those very thin grey plastic supposedly biodegradable bags you get at Woolies. You can't get them anymore from today. They've they've decided that's it. Coles is stopping them from 1st of July. So enjoy them while you can.
Sydney. I hate it when a product goes out of that. It's like when they got rid of tubes, you know, like plastic bags. They're one of my favourite snacks. I'm really going to miss them.
I know. What do you think? I mean, what I understand is that they're getting rid of all the plastic in the carry bags. But if you still buy Woolies home brand cheese singles, they've got more plastic than ever. Taste really plastic. Have you tried those?
Well, yeah, look, never feed one to a whale or it'll be beached within 5 minutes.
And finally,
Zone Music.
Now, I know that when we suspended our best cricketers for a year for the sandpaper thing, we sort of thought, good on Cricket Australia for standing up for what's right. I think we need to cancel the ban because we've just lost more badly than ever in the history of one-day cricket. England posted a world record one-day total of 481.
Oh, my God.
And we got 239. They beat us by 242 runs, which is normally what you get in a one-day game.
This is a lesson for the children, which is do not take a moral stance on anything.
Cheating works for a reason. Would you rather be a nation of winners and cheaters or losers?
Yeah.
And I think the answer is winners.
So the all-time list of countries whose cricket teams have lost one-day internationals by more than 240 runs. Let me run you through it. Bermuda. Namibia, Hong Kong, and Australia.
Right.
Oh, esteemed company.
Yeah, and with Namibia, it wasn't even their cricket side, it was their World Cup soccer side.
Radio Chaser on Triple M, available as a podcast, triplem.com.au. There's now a new sketches only podcast if you hate us talking.
Is that that's our nude sketches that we do. We do a lot of life drawing during the songs.
Yeah.
And like Charles poses and gets out his tackle and so forth. And the rest of us get our easels and brushes out. And all those sketches that we take of Charles in his full glory are available, ironically, as an audio podcast. Mm.
So, for instance, the sketch only podcast does not feature what Chris just said. We'll cut that out for that podcast. Anyway.
Well, then, speaking of art and culture, the French. They have gone on strike again.
Racist shorthand.
It's great.
But this time it's not just a sort of job that doesn't matter much, like, you know, tyre makers or cooks or something. It's the air traffic controllers. This report has
come out. Don't you? Don't you need air traffic controllers?
Apparently not. Apparently, according to the figures, the airstrike controllers during this period were on strike for 254 days. And in second place was Greece with just 46 days.
They're not trying. They're just not trying.
They can do better, these French. You know, they're not on strike often enough. But look, I've flown a few French aeroplanes, and these figures, they actually don't surprise me.
Bonjour, this is your captain speaking. Welcome to Air Français. Please ensure your seatbelt is fastened. Also, this flight has no seatbelts, as all our seatbelts have gone on strike. Your life jacket is located at home, having gone on strike as well.
This flight sucks.
Today, we are pleased to offer you a superb three-course Michelin-star dinner.
Oh, that sounds an improvement.
Except the chef has gone on strike.
Oh, crap.
I am pleased to say I have also decided to go on strike.
What? But you're the pilot!
Don't worry, my co-pilot is not on strike.
Oh, phew!
He's off having sex with his mistress.
Oh, for bloody hell! French Airlines.
D'accord. I shall now jump out of the plane and switch on the autopilot to complete the flight.
This is terrible!
Oh, I've just been informed the autopilot is on strike.
That's it! Open this cockpit! One of us passengers is going to fly the plane ourselves!
Pardon, monsieur? Fly the plane? Are you some kind of strike breaker scab?
I don't want us to crash!
You should be guillotined for your work ethic. Au revoir!
Oh, well, still better service than Tiger Airways.
Triple M's Radio Chaser.
It's time for the one segment where we all make a lot of money.
$1 million idea.
Yes, where we come up with inventions or ideas that hopefully can make us a big pot of money. And look, I hope I'm not telling any tales out of school here, Andrew, but Andrew, you know, he does the show out of Melbourne, but he was in Sydney with the rest of us the other night. And he stayed at my place.
Mm. Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was lovely. It was a bit. I didn't smell the best, but it was fine.
Well, this is sort of where I'm coming from, because you're actually a very exemplary house guest. I got no complaints about your smells or your hygiene.
Oh, thank you.
But it did sort of remind me, it's been a while between house guests, and it sort of reminded me what a chore, what a bit of an ordeal it is having to change the sheets, both before a guest comes.
Yes, true.
Because they demand clean sheets. And then immediately after, even though it might be years before you dare ask Andrew Hansen, but you've sort of got to have clean sheets ready to go again.
In case someone comes and crashes.
Yeah,
and
were they bad? Were my sheets, how bad were my sheets?
You didn't soil them too badly. This is not where I'm coming from. I don't want this to become Andrew Hansen is a filthy sleeper kind of rant.
Yeah, no. I mean, look, it was only a four rub night.
Yeah. This is just me about being lazy as a host and not wanting to do a lot of loads of washing either side of the visit.
Two loads per visit, that's a lot.
So
why, as much as Andrew did.
My $1 million idea this week, why has no one come up with the disposable sheet? You know, like... Now, hear me out on this. Yeah. So you don't have to sort of take actual linen to your laundry and wash it and dry and all of that. Why can't you just sort of have mounted at the bedhead... A sort of device like alfoil or cling wrap where you just pull it down, a new clean sheet.
Oh, love it.
A large square of toilet paper, but made of linen. And you sort of bring it down and you just rotate through as required.
I think that's so good. It's genius. And you'd be able to buy it in you know, 2-ply or 3-ply, depending on the level of comfort you wanted.
And different meterage, too. Mm. I mean, you'd obviously come in all sizes, so single, double, queen, king, and Clive Palmer. I mean, they're your full... But then it reminds me a bit of... You know, remember the old things you washed your hands on in toilet blocks?
Yeah,
those cloths that were sort
the
of
linen
on,
towels,
and they were really hard to sort of... I'm not doing my idea any services here, but they're really hard to pull down and rotate through. You could either have a permanently rotating sheet that self-cleans on the way through, or, as I said, a sort of alfoil... Just one sheet fits, not one sheet fits all, you know what I mean. One use. Just pull it down for each new guest.
So, Taylor, when your Andrew Hansen goes home, you need to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Where does the dirty sheet go? Because I'm imagining it's still somewhere in the room stinking it out. What do you do about that?
Oh.
Like when Andrew's been there and no one wants to see that sheet anymore. It's still there.
You just scrunch it up and put it in the bin, though, don't you?
Oh, I was thinking scrunch it up, world's biggest toilet paper.
Hey.
If you thought Triple M's Really, Really Randomizer was random, you haven't heard Radio Chaser's Really, 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 Really Ridiculously Randomist Randomizer.
An orchestra in Thailand where the instruments are played by elephants. The jaunty theme from the 90s kid show, Ship to Shore. Entire banjo convention suddenly disappearing into a massive sinkhole.
Radio Chaser's Really, 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 Really Ridiculously Randomist Randomizer. Randomness just got a whole lot more randomer.
Oh, our randomizer's so much randomer than Triple M's Really, Really Randomizer. Now, this is Radio Chaser on Triple M, available as a podcast, of course, after the show. Guys, I love this story.
Mm.
You know how in Sydney money, you spend millions of dollars and you get some sort of decrepit house in back Surrey Hills and with one bedroom? In regional Queensland, you can buy an entire town for $500,000.
Mm.
They put it on the market a couple of years ago for 2.1. Didn't sell. Earlier this year, 750 didn't sell. Now it's down to 500. It's 12 houses, 14 acres of land.
It's not Brisbane, is it?
No. It's called Allies Creek. It was an old mining village and there's not anyone there anymore. And it's got a dam, a beautiful dam. It's got a helipad. It's got a swimming pool, tennis court.
Well, the reason why everyone moved out was probably the aircraft noise. No one wants a town with a helipad.
I know. There was a tennis court, you said? All these people motoring in to play tennis tournaments in this town? It would have been bedlam. So what, it was a mining town once?
Yeah. There was a timber mill there as well. There's a church there, if you've ever wanted to own a church. It's fantastic.
So it's got everything you'd want.
Well, it's 370 k's away from Brisbane, so it's not really near anywhere except itself. But
could you buy it and move it? to like Sydney or something.
Just move it into the inner west. Yeah.
It's not a bad idea. Yeah. Instead of kit homes, kit towns.
Yeah.
What were you just sort of buy a lot somewhere, you know, I don't know, Pennant Hills or something, and just move a whole suburb into it.
Mm. Yeah, for $40,000 a house, you could go split it up with some mates. Why not? But
How did it fail in Queensland? Did it not have enough beauticians or something, or not enough pie faces?
Well, I think part of it,
we actually tried to call the agent to get her to come on and tell us more about the town and do the pitch. We called her three or four times. No answer. So that could be the reason it's not selling.
Oh, well, it's a hot market, Dommy. She's fielding thousands of offers, I imagine.
Radio shows like ours, actually. You know. But she says you could put in a tourist park or a getaway retreat or a wellness spa. Wouldn't that help your wellness being stuck in rural Queensland?
And having to drive 770 kilometres to get to the wellness spa.
You'd need a spa after the drive. Oh, God, I'm so stressed.
Could you just sort of raise the entire town and make it one giant spa? Like really, really big Clive Palmer style, you know.
How's Clive Palmer fit
the Titanic in the spa?
How's Clive Palmer not bought this thing?
Oh, you must be involved somewhere behind the scenes.
All right, up next we'll talk to the mayor of the town. Now we were just talking about a town in Queensland, 14 homes. Mm. You can buy the whole thing for $500,000. Seems like an amazing bargain.
Is anyone else thinking next Big Brother set?
The Block?
Yeah, all The Block.
Couldn't you an amazing The Block on that?
Has David Hughes made an offer on this? He loves buying up real estate when this kind of thing's in the news.
Can you imagine how long it would take to find a buyer to work out who the winner is? The Block? Anyway, we've got the mayor on the line now. Hello, it's the mayor of Allies Creek. Hello, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, hello there, Radio Chaser.
How long have you been the mayor of a town where nobody lives, Mr. Mayor?
Oh, well, I've been the mayor of Allies Creek since 2010, back when I was the town's only remaining resident. It was an exhausting election campaign. I had to door knock myself, to bake and buy my own Lamingtons at the fundraiser. And on voting day, I ticked the wrong part of the ballot, so I was very surprised to find that I lost the election in a landslide, 1-0.
You became mayor anyway.
Well, yes, but we had to hold a by-election, cost another $50,000.
That was quite a long time ago. What's the town like now?
I don't know. I moved out the day after.
But you're still the mayor, even though in absentia.
Oh, yes, I am the mayor, and I'm actually very proud of the town. There's many, many attractions. It's an innovation hub, constantly innovating ways of nobody doing anything. It's yet again been awarded Queensland's tidiest town, as well as Queensland's eeriest town. And it's a glorious tourist destination, let me tell you, with a TripAdvisor score of be the first to review this.
And tell Mr. Mayor, it's amazing your surname is Mayor, and that's also your occupation. I don't know how that happened. But do you believe... this town, Allies Creek, is it a good place to conduct business?
Well, indeed it is. I mean, our phone network is very uncongested, partly because no one's here and partly because there's no phone network.
And so for potential buyers, what are the real estate positives?
Well, I'll read the advert for you, shall I? Enjoy the serenity of this north-facing town. With 93 bedrooms and 68 bathrooms, it's a perfect bachelor pad. would suit a student with its 79 studies. Just a short stroll to itself. plenty of potential for future upgrades, including building a second town on top. Though that might be overcapitalising, seeing as no one wants the first town.
All right, thank you for the chat. Great to have you on the show. The mayor of Allies Creek, who hasn't really bothered to come up with a fictional name.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Cat's pyjamas or cat's piss.
Yeah, stories from the news. Chris, Charles and Andrew, are they cat's pyjamas or cat's piss? This, of course, is from the US. A man with a gun tattooed on his face. So between his eyes, a big tattoo of a gun, has been arrested for unlawful possession of a firearm.
He was banned from
having them. But apparently because of the tattoo, police keep stopping him. Is it cat's pyjamas or cat's piss to profile someone based on the massive tattoo of a firearm? In this case, he did actually have a firearm, but I think it's an interesting dilemma for police policy.
Yeah.
Cat's piss, I reckon. Cat's piss. I mean, look, you know, do they pull over people with Chinese characters tattooed on them on suspicion that they're carrying a Chinese character in their handbag?
Or on suspicion that they're wankers?
Or on suspicion that they're Chinese?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's not fair.
Didn't actually have a gun on him. He's just got a gun tattooed
look at the photo.
To his forehead.
No, as it happened... He did have a gun on him as well.
Okay.
And he threw it away, a loaded 38 to threw into the grass, and he's federally prohibited from possessing a gun.
But look, how do we? Well, we might not have seen the full picture because if you look at the photos, they're only a headshot. Mm. He might also have a tattoo on his foot of himself shooting himself in the foot.
Sure he does now.
All right. And now, I do love that story. To Sainsbury's in the UK, see what you think of this as a product. They have launched an alcoholic gin ice cream that's only 66 calories. It's very popular.
I didn't even need to know the calorie count. It was cat's pajamas just when you said gin ice cream.
Gin and tonic ice cream.
What is it with this? There was a Vivid as well. I went to Taronga Zoo and all the kids wanted to get these ice creams and went up to buy one. And they went, oh, these have vodka and gin in them.
Oh,
and so, like,
really?
They had like ice cream cones with melted hot vodka.
This is brilliant. Yeah. I mean, it's like someone's found out ice cream isn't awesome enough already.
Yeah.
You need to add booze to it and double down on the awesomeness.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, cat's pajamas.
But in the middle of winter, because in the UK, this is the middle of summer, although I suppose that's the same as our winter.
Well, get a hot toddy ice cream. So, you know, like an Irish whiskey magnum. Or something that explodes with an eruption, an ejaculation of hot whiskey when you bite into it.
You're excited, aren't you? Andrew, you're a bit of an ice cream connoisseur. You mix your own. Are you into this idea?
Yeah, I love ice cream, but I was disappointed when you mentioned the calories. A low-calorie ice cream always tastes awful. So I assume the gin must be to make up for the fact that you've got such an awful low-fat ice cream that you're having to eat.
Is the stick alcoholic as well?
Oh, no, it comes in a tub.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
So you can.
So it's like a vat.
You could
literally get a, like, you know, like you tap a beer keg, you can just tap a whole thick keg of ice cream.
Get slaughtered.
Well, I think that's how the Queen eats it. Yeah.
She gets munted on the gin ice cream every evening.
Actually, I can imagine the Queen, if you tried to give this to her, she'd be like, what's the ice cream doing?
Yeah.
Why are you messing with the gin?
Calippo should always have gin.
Why do they stop at alcohol? I mean, ice cream, they should put other good things. They should put hamburgers into the ice cream too. I mean, why stop there? Steaks.
Yeah, I know. And you know, they get your crumbs on your gay time. That should be cocaine crumbs. Just to keep the eastern suburbs of Sydney up.
Why hasn't someone made an alcoholic hamburger? That's got to happen, surely.
Well, that's next.
You can vomit up your hamburger after a big night and then re-eat it and you'll find there's a lot of alcohol content in it.
And that's the note we're going to go out on. Radio Chaser, Triple M.